Lord, we know that eagles don't need to flap to fly, Lord. They catch the wind, Lord. And may we rise up not on our own strength, but in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, he's the one that gives us the energy. He's the one that enables us. And Lord, I pray now as we come to look at your word and what it tells us, Lord, that we may have the light of the Holy Spirit, the understanding, and I pray you help me as I share, Lord. Lord, that together we'll explore the greatness of your good plans for us. Bless us and help us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Are you on a mission? You know who this guy is, don't you? It's Kitchener. He's been blamed for a lot of things, hasn't he? And this morning he's going to be blamed for telling you you're on a mission. Is that right? Okay. Are you on a mission? And what's the answer? Well, all right. But there are a few questions to answer when we think about what a mission is. So let's have a look at our next one, please. What is your idea of a missionary? I've got a few ideas you might bump into your head what a missionary is. Well, what's going on here is that there are some guys coming to tell these rather threatening looking people about Jesus. Yeah, it can be a dangerous enterprise being a missionary. Jim Elliot, to name one, you heard of him? The missionary to the Alca Indians in South America. He paid his life to go to see them. So it can be dangerous. It's not your idea of a missionary. Someone goes out and faces terrible situations in order to share the love of Jesus. Well, it can be like that, yes? It's not always like that, thankfully, but that can be like that. Next one, please. What about this one? What's your idea of a missionary? Here's someone baptizing someone, and I assume it's an African community here. But the interesting thing is, they've all got umbrellas, and it's raining, obviously. Umbrellas and things like that. One of the things that's important about mission is you're not telling people how wonderful your culture is. That's what happened with quite a bit of the mission, I think, to some degree, is that we were saying, you know, you want to become like us, meaning Brits. Well, that's not right. Yeah, their culture is as rich and as wonderful. I said this when I was in Kenya, because the African type of singing is not like our type of singing, usually, you know. And they were sort of taking on board a lot of the modern European and Western songs. Fine, good, but don't lose what's in your culture. It's so rich. Yeah, and that was the danger as well. We got to share Jesus, not the way we do it, which is really important. Yeah, that's a really important thing to grasp. Yeah, it's not, you're not turning them into little Brits or whatever it may be, whatever culture you come from. Yeah, you're turning them into their own people with Jesus at the heart of it. Okay, next one, please. Is this your idea of a missionary? You see these two guys. Do you know who they are, what they are? They're Mormons, yes, yes. And each of these badges says Elder so-and-so. And most of them haven't started shaving yet, and they call them elders. I do not understand it, but there you are. Anyway, what's the problem? It's not the gospel they're sharing. Yeah? It can't be a missionary unless you've got something that's true to share. And it's got to be the gospel of Jesus. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says, you know, if anybody preaches another gospel other than the one I've told you, let him be accursed. I mean, that's pretty strong stuff. Yeah. With the best intentions. Good intentions aren't good enough. It's got to be God's message that we give him. Right, that's the other bit about being a missionary. Next one, please. How about this one, then? Is your idea of a missionary a medical aid worker? Because they do a great job, don't they?
Yeah.
It's good. And it's important. Spurgeon put it like this once. It's no good telling a hungry man about Jesus, because his hunger deafens him. He can't hear anything because his stomach's rumbling all the time. He says, what you do is you give him a sandwich wrapped up in a tract. And so while he's eating his sandwich, he'll read the tract and he gets both of them. Medical aid is important, but it's showing the love of Jesus in order to share the love of Jesus. Yeah, that's important too. And human beings, God wants us to care for other people. You knew that, didn't you? So that's part of being a missionary as well, I suppose. And one more. What's your idea of a missionary? Just ordinary people? Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right, yes. Ordinary people, as we'll come and see. I've got some verses that go with it. Okay. Right, next one, please. Here we have one missionary that wasn't very good at it. Well, he was exceedingly good at it, but he didn't enjoy doing it. Let's put it that way. Jonah the Reluctant. God said to Jonah in chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God told Jonah, go and preach against the wickedness, tell them they're bad, tell them they're in trouble, tell them that God's going to judge them. And Jonah didn't want to go. And do you know why he didn't want them to go? Because he knew they'd believe what he said. He'd been preaching to his own people for years, and they didn't take a blind bit of notice, because he was saying, you're not doing right, God's not very pleased with what you're doing, and if you carry on the way you're going, you're going to be in trouble. And they ignored him. Jonah's sent to Nineveh, he says, you're not doing right, God's not pleased with it, you're in trouble, and they believe him. Jonah knew they would, and he wasn't very happy about that. So he didn't want to go, but did he finish up there in the right place?
Yes.
So, brothers and sisters, if the Lord is calling you to somewhere and you're reluctant, you may watch out for a few fish. Yeah? That's all I can say. Right, next slide, please. So Jesus sent them out in the mission. Here, sent them out two by two. The disciples first, and then a larger group later on. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The wonderful thing about this is that it's not just words. They did things that demonstrated that God was with them. And that's important in sharing our witness and our testimony. People should be able to see something of God in us as well as what we say. And these guys were sent out to preach the kingdom of God, God's reign and rule in this world. And that was just to Israel at that point in time. Jesus was sending them on a practice mission in a way. They've got a bit more to do later on, but that was how it started. Two by two. Why two by two? It's fellowship. That's one of the things.
It's safe.
It's, sorry?
It's safe.
It's safe. Well, that's a good one, yes. It can be a bit safer, yes. But also... Sorry? It's protecting them, that's what he's saying about the safe. But I think there's something else.
Two are gathered together.
Two are gathered, God's there. That's a good one, yes. Yes, spiritual quorum.
If one falls down.
It encourages us.
If one falls down, the other can help them up. It's to help each other. And one more is, it doesn't all depend on one person. It doesn't all depend on you. That's the good thing. It's a realization, we're in it together. Yeah? Next then, please. Then we have the Great Commission in Matthew 28. There's a quote, and you won't be able to read it, it's by Hudson Taylor. You've heard of Hudson Taylor?
Yes.
Do you know where he came from?
No, he was a missionary to China.
Yeah, I know where he went to. Where did he come from? He came from Barnsley. About that! Next big town to my place. About that? Barnsley, of all places. If God can get people from Barnsley, he can get them from anywhere. I'm telling you. Yes? Anyway, thing being is, Jesus said, or he says this, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. And he did that, of course. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus commissioned those disciples to go out, and that commission continues to today. Next, please. Here we have Paul and Barnabas. Well, I don't think it's a good photo, but it's Paul and Barnabas supposed to be. In Acts 13, and we'll get to this in our study in Acts, the Lord did something while the church was worshipping. It says, as the church ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, they sent them away. So I don't think Barnabas and Paul were planning on doing a mission, although God may have put that in their hearts. Because how did the Holy Spirit say, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul? How do you think it actually happened on a practical level? At a prayer meeting? But somebody said it. I'd like to suggest it was a prophecy. God gave a word to somebody and they shared it as a prophecy, and that was, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the mission or the purposes for which I've called them, the work. And so the church recognized this, and I think probably, thinking about it, Barnabas and Saul had some inkling in their hearts God was going to do something. And so the two come together, the word, the prophecy, and their commitment and their heart in the matter. The two confirm, I'd like to suggest, something that's really important. They got confirmation that God was telling them to go out. And so the church prayed for them, because there are two of them, and there's a whole team that Paul gathers around him, of course, but the church is behind them, they're supporting. Mission isn't somebody, some lone ranger going out there doing it on their own. There's a backup. Just like the Kairos, there may be a few going into the prison, relatively speaking, there's a lot more behind doing a lot of support. It all counts. So, there we are, Paul and Barnabas. Next, please. The Christians at Antioch. Now, this is really quite interesting. Antioch, that particular Antioch, is in Syria, as today is. But in Antioch there, we're told in Acts chapter 11, now those who've been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. It was a group of Jewish believers in Jerusalem and in Israel at that time. When the persecution broke out after Stephen was killed, the Christians just spread. Yes? And they, as they went, they spoke to people about the Lord Jesus. But it was only to Jews that they did that. But something remarkable happened. And it says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene. What's interesting about them being from Cyprus and Cyrene was they didn't originate from Israel. They were Jews, but they originated from outside of Israel, and they saw, perhaps more than the others did, the need of ordinary people outside to hear about Jesus. So these people, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Greeks. Are there any Greeks here? Yes. When it means Greeks, it doesn't mean people from Greece, although it means that. They're Gentiles. Oh, that's what it means, really. They spoke to non-Jews. That's really where it's at. People who didn't know about Israel, or I've got some vague ideas, didn't know much about the God of Israel, these people spoke to them. Now that's being a missionary. Talking to people. Telling them what you've experienced. Sharing what you've heard and felt and understood. And so they talked to people about the Lord Jesus, Gentiles. And do you know what happened? Just like Jonah. They believed. How about that? They believed, these guys and girls, about what they were hearing about Jesus. And it became quite a major move of the Holy Spirit in Antioch. There was a large number of believers now. And they were all talking about Christ. That's the Greek word for Messiah. They were all talking about the Christ. And so the locals, when they heard all this group talking about Christ, you know what they called them? Christians. Yeah, that's really what they're saying. It's that lot. They're Christ gang. So they called them Christians. And the name stuck ever since. So that's where it began. So they were just talking about Jesus. Amazing what you can do. And so next slide, please. The word that we have is apostles. You know the word apostles, don't you? The apostles were told to go. The word comes from the Greek word apostello. And you know what apostello means? It means I send. Well, it means about to go. But apostello means I send. They were called apostles because he sent them. Yes? That's where they get their name from. Next, please. They were sent. But how far does sent mean? There's a nice tropical island. Would you like to be sent to a tropical island to be a missionary? You fancy that, eh? or India. How about India? That's a nice place. Or somewhere in Africa or whatever. How about Wisbeach? Yeah, or March even. The interesting thing is, we're not just called to serve in a place, we're called to serve in place of the Saviour. Wherever we are, whatever we are, wherever we are missionaries for Jesus. We're serving Jesus. That's what the missionary is going to do as well, if you call them that. So that's how it is. How far is sent then? Where are we sent to?
Wherever.
Wherever we are. Yes. That's useful. Yes, my love.
Can I just say that Jay John, I once went to one of his talks and he said to
me, oh, very clever, yes. You don't have to cross the sea, you just have to see the cross.
Yeah.
Very good. Smart guy with words there, yes. Very good. Next then, please. What do we have to do and what is full-time service? Thought you'd like that. He looks rather worried about full-time service. What's full-time? I'm not being critical here, but I've heard people say, you know, I'm entering full-time service, meaning that they're not having a secular job, we call it. They're going to serve in a church or a mission or something like that. That's now full-time service. Is that full-time service?
No.
Well, it is for them, but does that mean that's all the full-time service is?
No.
No. Full-time service is your time that God's using, whatever it may be. So you can be working for the Lord in a factory, in a shop. I mean, not me talking to people about Jesus. You just do your job well. That's working for the Lord. And people notice. The boss will certainly notice if you do a good job. Because you're full time for Jesus. You don't just do it Sunday, you know. And so, full time service is that. And what do we have to do? It's do what you do with all of your heart. That's serving the Lord. And if you need to, tell somebody. That's how it works. Quite often we have to earn the right to be heard before we can talk, you know. That's how it goes. You can understand that. People can hear a lot of stuff. There's information out all over the place. But people are looking for something genuine, I guess. They'll suss you out before they suss what you say. So, what do we have to do? We have to serve Jesus. That's what it's about. Next, please. Are you a believer in Jesus?
Yes.
Are you sure now?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's very good. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus, he's asking another question, this chap, isn't he? Yes. Are you a believer in Jesus? We become a believer in Jesus by believing him. He says he'll forgive us. He says he'll accept us. He says he'll make us one of his. Isn't that amazing, eh? So, as a believer in Jesus, next one, please. I think this is the last one. Then I'm a missionary too. There they are, in church. We're all missionaries, is that right?
Yes,
we are. Yes, we are. I just want to encourage you with a little personal story this morning. I hope it'll encourage you. Might discourage you, really. But Bernadine was saying she managed to share the good news and the gospel with the taxi driver this morning. Very nice. That was good. Very nicely done. Yeah, I had a meeting with two people. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday, Saturday. Yes, the doorbell went, and there were two people at the door. One I knew, I'd seen before. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. They got me at a bad time because I was in the process of fixing a blind in the bathroom, and it's ironic. I'm trying to fix a blind in the bathroom, and the Lord sends two blinds to the door. I thought of that this morning.
Oh, you can get that.
Yeah, you got that one. Good man. So, here we are. I come to the door and I was thinking more about fixing the thing. I don't know, you may not know me very well, but if my cogs are working, you know, and something comes to distract me and hear gears working, you know. But I came to the door, I said, oh no, but they heard that as well. Yeah. So, hello. Anyway, the sad bit about it was, it really turned into an argument, I'm afraid. And the reason why it turned into an argument was they wouldn't believe when I told them that they've got it all wrong. Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really any communication. They said their bit and I said my bit. We sort of made a lot of noise together. And it was sad, really. I wasn't a very successful missionary at that particular point in time. I left him a few things to think about, but it made any difference. What was the problem? And this is my problem, and maybe as being missionaries, we'll all have the same problem, I suspect. And it's this. You find yourself in a situation, and you do it in auto mode. You can handle it yourself. You know, I really don't think I prayed while I'm talking to them about the Lord helping them. And the problem was, I mean, I'm expecting them to understand and to see. And you know, I didn't understand and see until the Holy Spirit opened my mind. So, why am I giving them a hard time? So I wasn't very gracious. They didn't see much of the grace that I'm supposed to be claiming to be, you know. So, friends, if you're a missionary and you fail, just say, well, Lord, Dennis did it as well. Is that an excuse? I don't think it's an excuse, but it might encourage you to keep trying. Keep trying anyway. So, brothers and sisters, we're meant to... do you know, the verse that came to mind later, a lot later on, is... be ready to give an account of what you believe when somebody asks you. Well, they didn't ask me because they were wanting to tell me what they believe, but if somebody asks you, and it's in Peter's letter, and he says this, but do it with gentleness and respect. Well, I tried, but I should have asked the Lord to help me as I'm doing it. Yeah. And I found that with so many things. Friends, brothers and sisters, when you're sharing your faith, don't just dive in. Ask the Lord to show you what to do, what to say. I should have listened more, perhaps. I don't find listening very easy, obviously. Yeah. Particularly when I've got such good news to share. That was the thing. I was really enthusiastic, but it came over a bit too much, I think. But anyway, pray for them. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. So you're all missionaries. Remember that. Serving the Lord, doing what the Lord wants you to do to the best of your abilities. And the chances are someone may say, what makes you so different? And there's your God opportunity to say, you know, it's Jesus. He's made me a new man, new woman, and I want to please him, I want to serve him. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah. Let's pray.
It says all will fail.
Sorry?
All will fail.
All will fail. Ah, well, that's no excuse for failing, though. No. All will fail, so all need to ask for some more help. Yes. More grace. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your patience. Lord, we've all got L plates on.
Yeah.
Help us, Lord, to fulfill your call in our lives, to share the love of Jesus the best that we can in the dependence and help and power of your Holy Spirit with the grace that we've experienced, Lord. So, it's my prayer. I pray for those two people I met. Pray for the taxi driver that... our sister spoke to this morning, to the people that come across our path. Lord, we may not always get a chance to tell them about you, but Lord, may they see something of you in us to start with. Lord, thank you for your mercies and your love to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.